This ministry is supported by the members and friends of First Unitarian Church of Des Moines. If you would like to support future podcasts, go to www.ucdsm.org to make your contribution.
You are at work or out with friends, and someone discovers you've been attending a Unitarian Universalist church. If your experience matches mine, the person may very likely say something like, "Oh, that's the church where they don't believe in God." What do you say in response? One of our members had this kind of encounter recently. She told me her response was, "Some of us do, some of us don't." To which I playfully added a third sentence, "So what?" Some of us do, some of us don't, so what? But the more I've been thinking about it, the pairing of "some do" is not just a "so what" for most of us, the "some do, some don't." It's not just a "so what" for us. It's huge. In fact, I believe "some do, some don't" may define us as well as anything else we could say about our creedless religion. "Some do, some don't" is human. It is real. And therefore, for me at least, it is religious. Religion, from the Latin religare, to bind us back to what is true and real, and sometimes different, depending on who you are talking to bind us back to each other in all our messy and contradictory glory, to bind us back to traveling together through our differences, to covenanting to be together even when some do, some don't. As one of our UU principles says, we covenant to affirm and promote a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. And for some of our members and friends, any talk of religion and faith and God around here is really just a bunch of hooey. But they come here anyway, and I'm glad that they do, because having them in the mix ensures that we are a truly human community, comprised of belief and denial and everything in between. This is a human community, human and real. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah! For those not familiar with this degree of freedom in their religious pursuits or communities, our religion can seem like a silly diversion meant to only suit our individual needs and predispositions, that we really only come to this church week to week to have social time. And the fact is, some do, some don't. Some do, some don't, so what? Again, for me, the answer to "so what" is huge, in part because I believe that the divine itself is found within creative events that arise from encounters we have with one another, whether we are talking about God or not. The creative interchange that happens when we are more curious than certain, when we seek more to learn than to teach, when we engage with the expectation that we could be transformed by our encounters, transformed for the better. We won't always be transformed. This we know all too well. In fact, transformation for the better is probably not the result of most of our interactions. Can I get an amen? Amen. But a commitment to creative interchange asks us to engage as if we could be transformed. And it is that commitment to the possibility of creative interchange that can make all the difference. Individually, we know we are as unique as fingerprints, as snowflakes, as the wondrous skin and bone machines with different dreams and DNA that we are. And yet we are also connected, linked through our humanity and our biology, our shared breath, our common yet altogether different journeys from birth through life to death. We are connected, each to the other, no matter our theologies, no matter our commitments, no matter our levels of interest in exploring life's mysteries. We are connected, interdependent even. And that's why, even in this free church, where we are encouraged to own our free and responsible search for truth and meaning for ourselves, we do share some expectations of how we will behave in community with one another, knowing all the while that we will sometimes miss the mark, which, when we do, helps remind us why we need to aim in the first place. One of my colleagues in ministry has shared the story of how one Sunday morning at the church she serves, while she was walking through the basement of her large congregation, she came upon a young man who was beginning to light a fire in the hall. No one else was around, just this young man, his matches, and the fire he had lit. "Oh, no, no," the minister said calmly to the young man. "We don't do that here." Now, we don't explicitly say anywhere in our new member materials or in our congregational bylaws that we covenant to not light unnecessary fires, that we covenant to not create spectacles merely for the sake of our own titillation or interest in pyrotechnics. Though I think we can all understand why such a covenant is necessary and exists, whether explicitly stated or not. Sometimes we may be compelled to speak our own truth so aggressively that we might as well be seeking to light a fire. We may think we are being righteous when we do so, prophetic even. But if we force our fire on others, if we don't leave space for our companions here to come to their own conclusions, if we don't own our truths as ours, presenting them for consideration rather than required conversion, we are probably in violation of our covenant. Not to mention contributing to a community vibe more like our social media comment section than the church we aspire to be. Can I get an amen? Sometimes I wonder, imagine with me, sometimes I wonder what it would be like if I, or others chosen from among us, would walk amidst the congregation during coffee hour or other gatherings, listening for uncivil conversations or aggressive assertions of truth on speculative matters or political proclamations that assume the person being preached to isn't a thinking, feeling human being. And upon hearing these violations of covenant, we could interject, "Excuse me, we don't do that here." It'd be fun, right? At least until we're on the receiving end of such a reprimand. Who really likes to be called out? And yet the truth is, a responsibility of being in a covenanted community is holding each other accountable to some standards of behavior, to reminding ourselves when we are behaving contrary to our principles, being willing to hear those reminders and try to change our behavior accordingly, or maybe even to leave the covenanted community, realizing it expects a commitment to respectful engagement we are not ready to share. Sometimes, even when we are committed to covenant, we will make mistakes. We will behave as if our individual perspectives are the truth with a capital T. We are human, after all. But our covenant with one another expects us to be thoughtful and forgiving about mistakes, both ours and others, and to assume good intentions until proven otherwise. One key promise we make to each other as members of this religious community, a goal to which we aspire even when we miss the mark, is articulated in our principle, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. Through this principle, we are not promising to accept everything that happens in our church. Some fires, after all, need to be put out, and their starters need to be encouraged to use different methods to communicate. Some behavior is unacceptable according to common standards of safety and kindness among others. So no, we are not promising to accept everything that participants of this community do. Rather, we are promising to accept that members of this community are. In other words, we promise to respect the humanity of others, their inherent worth and dignity, as we say, Even when we may not see eye to eye, even when we have a responsibility to declare, excuse me, we don't do that here. And so we promise to not set up theological or political or intellectual expectations that must be met in order to be a member of this church. We promise to try to graciously receive whatever non-coercive, non-violent, so-called truth someone may be expressing, whether that person is a minister or a member, and determine where it might intersect with our own, taking what's true, putting aside the rest, seeing another's perspective as only one piece of a much larger puzzle, a puzzle for which we too hold some pieces. Sometimes we may experience another person's perspective as painful. We may wish they had a different perspective, and we may tell them so, and that's okay, and maybe necessary. We can still be in covenant and express disagreement. In fact, the vitality of our community requires that we be able to respectfully disagree from time to time. Being respectful, though, is the key. In many situations in our lives, we can allow those with whom we disagree to keep us from living our own commitments and priorities. Oh, we say, this cause or this social group or this church can't possibly be what it claims to be if this objectionable perspective or behavior is present. And so we walk away, sometimes in sorrow, sometimes in anger, and sometimes in apathy. Early in my ministry with you, I received an email from a member who told me she was leaving our church, that she no longer felt that she could be a member here. In and of itself, this email was not unusual, really. People leave church communities all the time. Sometimes they communicate their intentions to ministers or leaders. But what was different this time was that this now former member told me she had crafted a letter outlining everything that was wrong with the church, and she wanted us to publish it in the church newsletter. I responded with sorrow that she no longer felt at home among us, and I wished her well, but I said we would not be publishing her letter. Now, I was new in ministry. I could have been tempted to accept her request to publish her letter in order to prove that we are open-minded here and willing to accept criticism, which, of course, we strive to be. After all, why would we have a table in our foyer where people can submit critiques in writing every Sunday if we don't want feedback? But her request felt out of place to me because she wasn't committed to trying to stay. She was already gone. If someone is no longer willing to navigate the inherently imperfect human community of our congregation, if they are no longer willing to convey their dissatisfaction in face-to-face communication with me or with church leaders, rather than craft a declarative negative statement as a passing shot on their way out the door, then they are telling us they are no longer willing to be in covenant. And being willing to live together in covenant here is what gives our words and perspectives power and importance. It's how real change is inspired. I think of a religious community like ours as a place where we get to reconsider our tendencies to walk away from what we care about, to too easily remove ourselves from people and from possibilities, to, as we like to say around here, learn to be disappointed and stay anyway. Our church is a place where we practice asserting our own truth for ourselves without expecting that others have to agree or else someone is wrong or our truth is not valid. Our church is a place where we get to be human and real, as well as loving and forgiving. It's a workshop of common endeavor, as we say, a place where we learn to see ourselves in each other, for better or for worse, one precious, imperfect relationship at a time. A few weeks back, a stranger to our congregation posted some negative comments on our church Facebook page in response to a picture of our Standing on the Side of Love and Black Lives Matter banners. If you follow me on Facebook, you know a little bit about this. The stranger was especially disrespectful and used the F word in her comments. She's certainly entitled to her critique, but not exactly on our page, and not just because she used the F word, but because she was being disrespectfully dismissive of us without even knowing us, without being in covenant with us. And so we removed her comment, which prompted her to comment again, which led us to block her from posting on our page. Rather than leave it at that, however, I looked her up, finding another dismissive post about us on her page using another F word. I wrote her a private message explaining why we blocked her, extending an invitation to meet with me face to face. And just last week, she responded with more negativity, obscenity, and broad stroke generalizations born from what I think are ill-informed assumptions that Black Lives Matter is a murderous horde seeking to create mayhem and generally harm society for a racist cause. I gave her more information about UUism and Black Lives Matter, but I did not seek to persuade her that she was wrong. Finally, after a few back and forths, I attempted to respectfully disengage from our creative interchange-free encounter. I wrote, "We can go back and forth like this probably forever, and likely little will change. You are convinced that Black Lives Matter is a movement to hurt people. I have the complete opposite point of view. So where do we go with this? I do not expect to convince you that my point of view is worthy of your respect. And I certainly can't condone the kind of broad stroke defamation and dismissal that is your style. And so I suggest we part ways. However, if somewhere down the road you would like to have a conversation with me face to face, in which you would be willing to be truly curious about me and my religion, and not simply lump me in with so-called thugs, but rather as a person who is working for a world where everyone can receive a fair shake in life, I would welcome that conversation. If you are not willing to do that, we have nothing more to discuss. Good luck to you." Essentially, in my letter, I was asking her to join me in seeking a relationship where we can actually hold each other accountable to standards of respect and kindness. I was asking her to join me in what is a core component of our UU approach to religion and to relationship. I was asking her to join me in covenant. So far, at least, she's not interested. When we live together faithfully in covenant, we can be curious about differences of opinion, because we know in the end we support our right to disagree and we're going to have each other's backs. We can express our disagreements and still support the rights of others to have their opinions. And most importantly, we can stick around to ensure that the diversity of opinion remains. For that diversity of opinion is human and real, and for me, at least, religious. Differences in theology, politics, approaches to seeking racial justice, a host of topics, are welcome when we live in covenant as long as we prioritize our desire to be in right relationship above being right. For me, right relationship is all about space. It's about letting other people be who they are and believe what they must, even when we must disagree. When we welcome new members to our church, I often say that the one thing I think we must believe in order to belong here is that the door through which we entered does not close behind us. It remains open for everyone who wishes to follow. And I still think that's true. But I have to tell you, I think there's another thing that we must believe to belong here. We must believe in the value of our covenant to walk and live together and hold ourselves accountable to that covenant. As my colleague Lisa Ward has written, a covenant is not a definition of relationship. It's the framework for our relating. A covenant leaves room for chance and for change. It is humble toward evolution. It claims, "I will abide with you in this common endeavor and be present as best I can in our becoming." I was drawn to this faith in covenant, this faith of interconnection and freedom, from the first morning I entered the doors of a UU congregation. And it is this faith that has kept me in UU congregations, even when I have seen us individually or collectively occasionally missing the mark. For when we are at our best, our most open and curious and covenantal, we truly have a gift to offer the world, the gift of space, respectful space that is human and real and therefore, for me at least, religious. Lisa Ward's words again. "We know that we are interconnected and that what we do creates ripples of hope or despair, of affirmation or negation. What we do with and for one another is powerful beyond our imagining. Powerful beyond our imagining. And that's why our faith in covenant is a powerful faith. A faith worth having. A faith worth sharing. So may it be. Amen.